I want to greet you again today on day 4 of daily devotion, and we want to continue on our thoughts about a balanced walk. And today I want to look at some examples through some history to see what happens when we halt to the left or to the right, and our walk become unbalanced, and the people, they will suffer under it. So Lord, we come to you again this day. We praise you and you lift up your name. May you be our guide. May you bless your word today. We pray, amen. You remember one side, truth, justice, holiness, righteousness, and to the other we have love, grace, mercy, forgiveness, and it's all good. We need it. And in between them stands the cross, showing us where it is in balance. So if you go too far on one side, you will lose track of the other. So in Matthew 23:24, Jesus talked to the Pharisees from verse 24. You blind leaders, you strain out a small fly, but swallow a camel. So it's a good explanation, the description of really the two ditches it's easy to fall in, straining out a small fly and swallowing a big camel. And you know, before, when you go back to that time before the Romans took the land of Israel, it was the Greek Empire that ruled there. And you know, they built a gymnasium in Jerusalem, and it was built by High Priest Jason, actually around 175 before Christ. And it was near the temple area, and it became a symbol of Greek influence. And there were young men that were trained there in Greek customs, athletics, and philosophy. This caused tensions with devout Jews, since it pulled people away from the Torah and the Jewish traditions. It became like a cultural clash, and revolt of the Maccabean that happened in 167 before Christ. It was Jews, they started resisted forced Hellenization. You know, the Greeks, they have, it's called Hellenetic way of thinking under Antiochus Epiphanes. He was the one who actually slaughtered a pig inside the temple, and it was a big revolt by the Maccabeans. And you know, the Pharisee party was established in those times, and they emphasized oral traditions along with the written Torah. And they wanted to live in strict holiness, not just in a temple, but in everyday life. You can see how they ended up like in the other ditch on the road. And when Jesus came, they could not see who he was because they were more occupied with the letter of the law than keeping position with the people. one side, you can understand why they would set up a standard against the degradation of the Torah, but they went too far and over to the other side. And then you have a scripture here in John 5:39, when Jesus said to them, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." So how do we read? Is it for our head knowledge to get good arguments? Or is it, are you reading in search of him, the author of the book? Because he knows the meaning behind every word and can make it come alive for you, for nourishment and help for yourself and others. And there was also another group in Israel in the time of Jesus, the Essenes, and they separated themselves to study the scripture and to live a clean and holy life. You know, they missed him. It is not recorded that Jesus ever went to visit them. So we can be so focused on something that is wrong. And when we want to make a strong stand against it, we have to be careful that we don't end up in another ditch. You know, errors come at least in two or more. But there's one truth, and that's in the middle, on the middle of the road. And we can really see, when you go back and read about that area of time, was really a need for the Elijah anointing to come. We read in Luke 3, chapter 3, verse 4. "As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight, and every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God.'" So you see here, every thing that man has built up on their own make it difficult for people. You know, the Jewish people had gone through a lot from the time they were taken to captivity in Babylon. They were under four different empires. And when you think about all the influence that follows those empires. And now when John the Baptist came with his message, it was there among many parties and directions. You have the Pharisees, Sadducees, the Essenes, the Zealots, and the Roman that was occupying Israel that time. And there has not been a prophet there heard for 400 years. And I believe it was a hunger when John brought the message to the people, because it was really a need for someone to point out the way for the people. And he sees every need, and his word to be accomplished. He's an on-time God. And now we can look at ourselves, the Gentiles. You know, the story about when the church just went into the dark ages. And through the Dark Ages, the people were kept in ignorance and denied access to the Word of God. It was just a Roman Empire changing form to religious power and still keeping the people in bondage. But really, when the Reformation came, and from that hour to our day, we can see how things have gone from one side to the other. During the Reformation, when it started, and people got a hold of the Word of God, we came into an era of time that is also called the Age of Enlightenment. And the characteristic of that era was the belief in freedom, reason, and progress. The Enlightenment thinkers were concerned with mapping the world and spreading new knowledge. They fought against superstition and traditions that could not be explained rationally. And by exposing what was unreasonable, the world was to become a better place to live. That was the plan. And the characteristic of the era was the belief in freedom, reason, and progress. And we have men that fought for the truth, like Luther, Zwingli, Knox, Wesley, and so on. And servants of the Lord, we are very grateful for. And it was a time for development, discovery. But we can also see how it brought self-righteousness. And there was war, slavery, colonization, a lot of ideas and isms was born and came in that area. So when time went on, it was a time for a change, and it came in Azusa Street, the Pentecostal revival in 1906. And with the gifts of the spirits. And then he sent Elijah for our day within Branham with a message: come out of all the isms and be aware of the seducing spirits that is coming. You know, what we see has developed to our day. But he came at the right time, as we see the first Elijah. If you see what happened right before he came on the scene after he died, you know, at the same time when he was preaching about the seals in 63, you could really see how the pale horse you read about in Revelation is on the track, because at the same time we could see the Roman Catholic Church had a Vatican Council. It was from 62 to 65, and they changed their strategy, and one of the points was to improve relations with other Christians and other religions. You know, ecumenism and interfaith dialogue. And this resulted in 1967, there was a group of Catholic students at Duquesne, I think it's called. Maybe not pronouncing it right, but it was a university in Pittsburgh. You say they experienced a powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And they describe this experience in terms of similar to Pentecost in the New Testament, speaking in tongues, prophesying, healing, and a deep sense of God's presence. And this happened the same, around the same time in the late 60s. And what happens to the people, and you can see how the word of God, it doesn't come so important in much of the church world anymore. And you see how it's going from focusing on the word and over to just people, they won't be called religious, just spiritual. And it becomes a blend of everything because the guideline, it's gone. You have even Eastern religion coming in, like New Age. And, you know, that's all about feelings. We know Laodicea, that's being as being lukewarm, but it has another meaning too, and it's the rights of the people. So have you see how quickly from the 1500s you have freedom and the word of God, and really focus on that. And then from 1906 to our day, you know, how it's just have strayed over to the other side. So on both sides, if you go too far, you become unbalanced. And you know, on each side also, you will end up in your ego. One side uses the word of God for power over the people, and the other, we see especially in the West, claiming their rights for their feelings. So righteousness becomes self-righteousness, and the other, you have the love of God, and what that ends up, if you just focus on that side, it ends up as we read in 2 Timothy 3 from verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For man will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of God, good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. You know, the cross is the only place we can find balance with God. We see this pattern through the Bible, with the children of Israel also starting in true faith in God. But you have a pattern here too. From faith in God, it gives you courage, freedom, and abundance. But then it starts to fade into selfishness. And then from selfishness to being over self-confidence, and to indifference. And then you become helpless, and at last you'll end up in bondage. So this is the course that goes around and around, you see, from generations to generations. So much more can be said about this, and I think you get the picture. So let's go close with some good scriptures here. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. For the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. So here we have one lawless, without the law of Christ. And you know, this is the Antichrist who came with signs and wonders. but it will be just a trap for people not knowing really the word of God and its guidance. And it will be, he will attract a lot of people under him. Ephesians 4, 14, 15, that we would not be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting, but speaking, here you have the two sides, truth, speaking the truth in love, and may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, and that's Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 13 you have about love. And even though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. So here you see, you can have the power of the word, but if you don't have love, there's nothing but a sound. But we want his anointing behind every word. We want him to be the one speaking, but only so we can be the instruments in his hand. But then we have to be nothing in ourselves, like in the center, carry our own cross and lift up and fulfill, you know, the two laws that I have mentioned every day now. So may the Lord bless you this day and be with you. Amen.